Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, welcome back, and thanks for joining us. We are just 16 days away from 80s Wrestling Con 5, the fifth annual 80s Wrestling Con explodes into the Men in Sports Arena on Saturday, May the 4th in Morristown, New Jersey. In attendance, some of the biggest superstars from the world of professional wrestling. We're talking guys like the Four Horsemen, Arn Anderson, Barry Windham. We're talking about some of the greatest tag teams to ever climb inside the squared circle, Demolition, the reunion of the Young Stallions, and of course, the Warlord and the Barbarian, the Powers of Pain. In my opinion, one of the most devastating tag teams of all time, maybe one of the greatest tag teams of all time, but ironically, they never captured the big one. They were never claimed the fame of being a world tag team champion, which feeds into today's topic. Who, in your opinion, was the greatest tag team to never win the titles? Maybe the Powers of Pain is on your list. We shall find out on this live episode of 80s Wrestling the Podcast. My name is Jumpin' Jay, and as always, I sit across from the man who is bringing 80s Wrestling Con 5 to all of us, none other than the con father himself, Tommy Fierro. Tommy, good morning, brother. What is going on?
Good morning, Jumpin' Jay. Good morning, everyone out there listening to another episode of 80s Wrestling, the podcast. Things are absolutely insane here at the headquarters, if you want to call it that. It's at the Wrestling Collector in Stockholm, New Jersey, but I do all of our work out of here for ISPW and 80s Wrestling Con, 90s Wrestling Con, and yeah, man, we are 14 days away from the big one, the fifth annual 80s Wrestling Con. I can remember yesterday, man, the first one back in 2019. Were you at the first one, Jay? Were you at the second one?
I was at the first one, and then I missed the second one, and then I believe I was at 3 and 4 as well. But, yeah, number 5 already,
correct,
Tommy. Can you believe you are currently looking forward to your fifth installment of one of the greatest wrestling conventions to ever rock the East Coast?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. And a quick backstory of 80s Wrestling Con for, you know, anyone out there that doesn't know how it all came about. Before we jump into today's topic, because we are only 2 weeks away from our biggest event of the year, so I would like to spend a few minutes talking about 80s Wrestling Con at the top of the program today. So back in the day when I was younger, and regular listeners will know the story, but we have a lot of new listeners coming in over the last couple of months. I see our numbers, and it's definitely some new people that are listening. So anyone that doesn't know the backstory of 80s Wrestling Con, so when I was younger, I did conventions called Fan Slam, the Wrestling Fan Festival. And back then, there was really no conventions outside of Fan Slam. I originally stole the idea from John Arezzi going to his convention, Weekend of Champions in New York. And at the time, I was 16 years old, and I was going around to independent shows and interviewing guys, probably like 15 at that time, interviewing guys for my newsletter. It's called the Ringside Wrestling Newsletter. I had probably, I don't know, 20, 30 subscribers, but everyone was kind to me. So when I went around to these shows, I would interview these guys. Like I mentioned last week, I had Vito, and I interviewed Vito for the newsletter and other guys too. So through going to these independent shows and interviewing guys, I got lucky enough to get some phone numbers from guys, and it's so different now than back then. Back then in the early 90s, you couldn't, like, go on social media and inbox, a celebrity wrestler. You'd have to know someone very well in the wrestling business to be able to even get a phone number of a wrestler to give them a call. So some way, somehow I lucked out, and people took a liking to me at an early age, and I got phone numbers. I started doing my first convention. I was 16. So I was doing conventions for a while, and then I did wrestling, then I stopped wrestling for a while, went to California Pizza Kitchen and became the marketing director, and then lost my job through the pandemic and decided to go back to wrestling. And in the midst of all that, in the middle, when I wasn't promoting on a regular basis, I still wanted to some way, somehow feel connected to the industry. Because once it's in your blood, you know, it's in your blood forever. I mean, here we are, we're grown men still talking about wrestling we watched as a child every week, and we have a following that listens with us. So so through doing that, I opened up a social media account called 80s Wrestling. It was just for fun to post pictures of wrestlers and memories and matches, and through these social media accounts, you know, everyone started following them, from Hulk Hogan to The Rock to Stone Cold Steve Austin, all these big names, to the point where I had over a combined in all platforms of social media over 1 million followers. So at that time, I'm thinking to myself, damn, I need to figure out a way how to capitalize on this. And then like a light bulb went in my head, why don't I do an 80s wrestling convention? And it was only supposed to be one, and you know, it was in 2019. You were there, Jay. And it was, you can contest this, it was really, really awesome, to the point where I had to do another one, and it was stupid if I didn't. And that one went really good, and then I said, all right, well, I got to do another one, and then the pandemic hit. And then, you know, fast forward a year or two later, we picked back up. But that's how the 80s Wrestling Con came about, was just through me posting pictures of our favorite childhood wrestlers on social media, and just like everyone began to follow it. And then I'm like, I need to capitalize, me being marketing and a promoter, I need to figure out a way how to capitalize on this. So so we're the fifth installment of 80s Wrestling Con. Super excited, 14 days away. Jumpin' Jay, you're going to be in the house. Can't wait to see you, man. It's something, honestly, that I look forward to every year is seeing Jay, because let me tell you something, man. I'm fucking so, excuse my language, I am so stressed out right now. Like, there's so many moving pieces. Like, I'm literally, and I say this every year, Jay, I want to bang my head up against the wall. And I tell myself every year, this is the last year I'm doing this. I'm not doing this no more. And I'm saying to myself right now, I'm like, damn, this is it, man. The five and that's it. But then who knows, maybe next year, you know, I don't know. But it's a lot of work. I know everyone looks forward to it, and I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see you. Remember, 2 weeks from today, there will not be a podcast 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, we are going to be having a live get-together in New Jersey here at the Wrestling Collector. So anyone that's out there that is a fan of this podcast that lives in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, do me a favor, call out sick from work that day, or take, if you have a day off, take off. It's 2 weeks from today, Thursday, May the 2nd. About 12 o'clock-ish, we're gonna have a little luncheon here at the store. Jumpin' Jay's going to be here. I'll be here. I know the Stromboli sisters are going to be in the house. Totowa Tom's going to be in the house. There's going to be a lot of our regular listeners are going to be here. So if you are a fan of the podcast, please come out to see us. Again, it's going to be on Thursday, May the 2nd, at the Wrestling Collector Store on Route 23 in Stockholm, New Jersey. And we are going to have some fun. We'll do some giveaways, maybe a little trivia contest. We have the WrestleFest arcade game here at Jumpin' Jay. We can maybe have a little tournament. We'll have some fun. Next week's episode, Jay will not be in the house, as Jay is going to be traveling, and I believe we are going to have Babyface Brian as my co-host. Now, next week's episode is going to be a fun one, Jay, because next Thursday is actually my birthday. So on Thursday, April 25th, we are going to have a birthday celebration here on 80s Wrestling, the podcast, and it should be fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, happy early birthday to you. 1 week away from Tommy Fierro's birthday celebration in the midst of all the chaos around you right now. I hope you take time next Thursday to rest, relax, and celebrate, brother. I hope you don't work yourself too hard on your special day. I can't believe we are this close to 80s Wrestling Con 5, man. And every year, it just keeps getting bigger and better, and more people know about it. People come from all over the world to this wrestling convention, and it really is just a huge gathering. I always say it's a love letter to the world of professional wrestling, because the way you do it, Tommy, it's great for the fans, it's great for the performers. It's just a day where we all get to kind of come together and celebrate this thing that we all fell in love with. And so I can't thank you enough. I know it's hard work. I know it wears you down. I know every year you go, I don't know if I can do it again. But, brother, we so much appreciate what you're doing, and I can't wait. The excitement is building. May the 4th is right around the corner.
Yeah, man. And it's not just an autograph session and a meet and greet where you get an autograph and get a photo. It is, if you've never been to 80s Wrestling Con before, it is an experience. It is a fan festival. There are going to be question and answer sessions. Jumpin' Jay is going to be hosting panel with Bill Apter and George Napolitano talking about wrestling magazines from the 1980s. I am super excited for that. We are going to have tons of other activities throughout the day, including cosplay contests. With Jay, I know you look forward to that every year. We're bringing back Pro Wrestling Jeopardy again. That was super fun last year. We're going to do Pro Wrestling Karaoke with the host of 80s Wrestling Con, Bill Apter. We did that last year. That was a ton of fun. We're going to be having trivia. It's going to be so interactive and super cool. It's a celebration of the greatest time period in the history of professional wrestling, the 1980s. And anyone out there that does not have their tickets yet, please head over to 80swrestlingcon.com now. Again, 80swrestlingcon.com, and secure your tickets for the biggest party of the year. If you can't make it and you are interested in getting some autographed 8x10 photos personalized to you, you can actually send me an email, and I will personally get these taken care of for you. If you want to grab a pen right now, I'm going to give you the email address where you can email me and let me know who you want and what you would like inscribed on your 8x10s. We're going to have, a runner running around that day securing all the mail order items. And following 80s Wrestling Con, we will send those out to you in the mail. So if you're a huge Demolition fan, or a huge Powers of Pain fan, or you're an Arn Anderson guy, or you're a Barry Windham guy, and you want to get an autographed 8x10 personalized to you, and you can't make it for whatever reason, I got your back. I got you hooked up. We are going to do a big mail order this year. I have someone specifically on it this year, so we can get the orders in. So grab a pen, and the email address is 80swrestlingpicks@gmail.com. So it's 80swrestlingpicks@gmail.com. 80swrestlingpicks@gmail.com. If you just want to shoot me a email as well for me and Jumpin' Jay about, you know, how much you like the show or suggestions or ideas, I'll forward them to Jay. Again, it's 80swrestlingpicks@gmail.com. If you want to send donations, man, I'll give you my personal email address. I don't want Jay to be seeing that, you know.
I love it. Listen, man, you mentioned some pretty big names for 80s Wrestling Con 5, and you brushed over some pretty impressive tag teams that are going to be in attendance at 80s Wrestling Con 5. I mean, right off the top of the head, you got Paul Roma and Jim Powers, the reuniting of the Young Stallions. I don't know if those guys appear much together, but as a guy from my era, I'm so excited to see those two guys in the same building together. You also mentioned my favorite tag team of all time, Axe and Smash of Demolition. And of course, guys that not only were in attendance last year, but I got to see them wrestle at the ISPW show afterwards. The Warlord and the Barbarian, the Powers of Pain, will be in attendance at 80s Wrestling Con 5, which is a great transition, Tommy, to today's topic, because you mentioned that this period is known as the Golden Era. Not only was it the Golden Era of professional wrestling in general, this was the pinnacle, the Golden Era of the tag team division inside of professional wrestling, and you have a couple of the A players appearing at the convention in just two short weeks, one of which, it boggles my mind that the Powers of Pain were never able to climb that mountain and claim the tag team championships. And today's topic is all about that. Who, in your opinion, is the greatest tag team of all time that never got that recognition by never wearing the titles. Maybe the Powers of Pain are on your list. Maybe they're not. But the call lines are open. We'd love to hear your opinion. If you want to share with us who you feel the greatest tag team to never capture the gold are, you can give us a call at 516-595-8295. And Tommy, before I get to your opinion, because I know you got one, we're going to kick off the show with the guy who's going to be filling in my chair next week, none other than Babyface Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. Welcome to the conversation, and thank you so much for taking over for me next week right here on Tommy's birthday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Happy to talk to you guys again this week, like every week. And I'd encourage anybody that has an opportunity to spend some time out at the Rock and Wrestling Collector on May the 2nd, I guess it'll be, for that get-together. I was there last year, and just several hours that flew by just hanging out with these personalities that I've gotten to know through 80s Wrestling, the podcast. And you're hanging out at about the coolest place ever if you're a wrestling fan. There's so much amazing stuff to look at in the store that Tommy's collected over the years that you won't see anywhere else. So highly encourage Thanks, anybody man. That has the opportunity to go there. Yeah, I'd highly recommend anybody that can make it there. Make a point of spending some time with these guys.
I wanted to say real quick that you said the Rock and Wrestling Collector. I don't know if you guys noticed, but if you look at the store's social media handles, I quietly changed it back to the Wrestling Collector. I don't know if anyone noticed that or not. We did a switch over on Black Friday, and I thought the idea of Rock and Wrestling was an awesome idea, right? Like it blends in with each other. But since then, I would say 98% of the people that come in the store is just coming from wrestling. They there's no really music stuff moving. So after several months, I'm not gonna bring in more music memorability, but that's selling, because I mean the store has branded for 3 years already as a wrestling store, and I thought that it would draw extra people, but still we're known as wrestling. So I think the majority of people coming in is still for wrestling. So I quietly changed it back to the Wrestling Collector. So just so you know.
Oh well, hey, you got to go with what makes sense. So you don't want to send the Rock against Roman Reigns when the people want Cody versus Roman Reigns. You got to roll with the punches, man. So I understand completely. Jay put up on the artwork for this episode 6 teams, and the 6 teams were the Bushwhackers, the Powers of Pain, the Can-Am Connection, the Rougeos, the Killer Bees, and the Rockers, if I didn't say them all. And those are all great choices that I'm going to let the rest of the callers talk about. All guys that definitely deserving, probably the most deserving, be the Bees, just for their longevity and how many matches they wrestled there. But the two that I'll throw out there, when I first started watching wrestling, King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd, to me, would have just been this massive force to win the belts. You could have fun with Andre and Axe as the machines, this giant and super machine, the 3 months they were there, taking the titles off of them or doing something with those two teams. And then, you know, these big guy teams sometimes – to me, they just were really impressive when you had Andre and Haku as the Colossal Connection. They seemed unstoppable for a bit. And then the other big man team, aside from Studd and Bundy, I would have loved to have seen get a run with the belts, would be the Twin Towers, Akeem and Big Boss Man. I think would have been phenomenal in that role and had more longevity than Studd and Bundy even. Studd and Bundy were tagging a while in 86, but Studd left around November 86, so they really weren't around too terribly long, whereas Akeem and Boss Man got the win over the Rockers at WrestleMania 5. They had the big feud with Hogan and Savage as the Mega Powers, so to me that would have been a really fun big unbeatable style team. It would have been the Twin Towers, Akeem and Big Boss Man. So ton of great teams from the era. Love the topic, and I know there'll be a lot of people that'll have a lot to say about this one.
I always love your feedback, and I'm looking forward to hosting the show with you next week here. That's going to be a fun one, man. You're going to have to let your hair down next week, babyface Brian. Hey, real quick before you go, I want to make mention, usually you are the walking encyclopedia, babyface Brian. I don't know if you posted this on your social media yet on Twitter, but today is the six-year anniversary of the passing of one of the greatest wrestlers, most iconic wrestlers in the history of our business, Bruno Sammartino. So just want to make a quick mention of that. What a huge, huge, huge part of the wrestling industry, and he is certainly missed and always will be remembered.
Definitely. 4,040 days holding the belt, and they, you know, it's like we don't talk about Bruno, right? They mentioned Roman potentially overtaking Hulk's length of time in a single run, but Bruno outshined everybody as far as longevity. And along with that, we had a string of three birthdays. So a couple days ago, it would have been George Steele's birthday. Yesterday would have been Roddy Piper's 70th birthday. And today is actually Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler's 63rd birthday. So I got to meet him last year at 80s Wrestling Con, and super nice guy. He's real active on Twitter. So along with Bruno passing away 6 years ago today, Brooklyn Brawler turned 63. So hope you guys have a great rest of the show. I really look forward to talking to you next week, Tommy. And if you want to hear, you know, a little bit more in depth on Tommy's history, I have my top listened to episode on my show, Legendary Wrestling Figures, is still the one where Tommy came on and shared a bunch of stories about his history as a fan and getting into the wrestling business. So go check that out if you get a chance.
Hey, Jay, you see that? Jay, you see that? I'm a draw, brother.
Record setting.
That's right. That's right. Thank you guys so much, and have a great rest of the show and a great weekend. I'll look forward to talking to you next week, Tommy.
Yeah, man, we'll have some fun.
Sounds good, guys. I look forward to listening next week. It'll probably be the highest rated show of all time. I look forward to it.
Take care, man.
You guys too.
All right, kicking off the show, Babyface Brian with the greatest tag teams to never win the titles. Tommy, what's your opinion on the Twin Towers?
Oh, I love them. I thought they were fantastic. I'll never forget, and I think anyone out there will ever forget when it was Akeem was running the ropes. He goes right through the ropes onto the ground, and it's like it's just an iconic image that I don't think anyone will ever forget. But yeah, I was a big fan of those guys, and I was actually also a big fan of the fabulous Rougeau brothers when they were heels. I guess them having a run as heel champions for a little while there. The list of the six teams you put on that list is six. I mean, K&M Connection wasn't really around that long, but the other ones, you know, we can have a debate on all those guys right now, you know?
Right, and the people that end up on their graphics aren't. It's not limited to those people. Those are just people I chose to put on there, and so I welcome all opinions. But yeah, the Twin Towers is a solid pick. I loved when they were feuding with the Mega Powers. I thought that whole storyline is one of the best ever. You know, and those two guys were legitimate opponents for Macho Man and Hogan, who were the two biggest baby faces at the time. And so, yeah, big bad team, the Twin Towers. You do wonder what a title run would have looked like for Akeem and the Boss Man. We're going to keep this conversation
rolling.
Wait,
quick question. Quick
yes,
question before you go to the next caller. So you put those six teams on there, and you had the Can-Am Connection as one of those teams. Now, I don't know if you have a specific attachment to the Can-Am Connection to put them on that six-pack you put up. But I know one team you have an emotional connection to that I'm surprised didn't replace the Can-Am Connection on that graphic, and that's the Bolsheviks. Now, Boris Zukov will be appearing at 80s Wrestling Con in a little over two short weeks away. I was stunned to not see the Bolsheviks on that list, Jumpin' Jay.
Listen, man, I fought hard to just make the entire graphic. just to have that one team underneath the title of the greatest tag team to never win the titles. But I figured people would call me out for that. And so I did leave them off. But who knows? At the end of the show, I may reveal my team, and it may be them because main evented in my hometown probably on more than one occasion. We were the A-town for sure that night. All right, we'll keep the conversation rolling. And I bet I'm not the only one you're not the only one that's going to bring them up for me. Somebody else will probably pick them as the greatest tag team to win the titles. But the next one up on our, not the Rock and Wrestling, excuse me, the Wrestling Collective Slam line, it's then Matt from Boston. Matt, good morning, sir. We're talking greatest tag teams to never capture the gold.
Jay, Confather, good morning. I just want to start off by saying I am so stoked for 80s Wrestling Con 5. The anticipation is palpable. I've got my 80s Wrestling Con 5 t-shirt, been posting it to Twitter. I can't wait. I made it work out, so I'm going to be working out of my Manhattan office Monday through Wednesday. And then I've taken – so I just need to be in the area that week, right? I got to be close. And then I took off Thursday and Friday, so I'm gonna make my way over there on Thursday. I can't wait for the whole weekend. I've been looking forward to it for months, and we're finally closing in on the last few weeks, and I'm excited. I've got my one of a kind T-shirt, well, I guess two of a kind. Tommy, I sent you one last year when I had those printed up. I can't wait. I'm stoked. I'm excited to meet everybody. I can't wait. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to meeting you as well. And that's awesome that you're going to be here at the 80s Wrestling Con / 80s Wrestling the Podcast luncheon here at the Wrestling Collector. That's awesome you're going to be here, man. I want to see you and Jumpin' Jay one-on-one in WrestleFest. I'm booking it right now.
Oh, I'll start doing some thumb push-ups now. Get that thumb ready to rock. Matt, I am so looking forward to meeting you. And one of the best things about like the meeting we had last year at this time is when people come to the Wrestling Collector, you're going to recognize their voices because we don't really know what each other looks like. But as soon as somebody walks in the door and they say, hey, I'm here for the, you're like, boom, I know exactly who that is. And so it's a real neat experience. I'm excited for you to experience the entire weekend. It's going to go by so fast. And so really take the time to really enjoy the convention when you're there, because as much as we're looking forward to it, man, it goes by so fast. Then you just have the memory. So I look forward to meeting you, but yeah, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait. And you know, for a few years now, since I discovered the Wrestling Collector, I've been wanting to get down to the store anyway. And you know, there's always a reason that I couldn't make it work out. But you know, what better time to walk through those doors for the first time than on 80s Wrestling Con weekend? So I am stoked. I am beyond pumped. Taking vacation days. I am all in for the whole weekend. You know, kind of Thursday. So
we also heard that you're a high roller, brother. So I know that you're taking me and Jumpin' Jay out for a steak dinner on Thursday night. I'll supply the pizza in the daytime for the luncheon, but you'll supply the sizzling steaks at nighttime.
When the guy says I'm going to be working out of my Manhattan office for the weekend, you know he's a big roller,
that sounds
Tommy.
Like steaks to me. That sounds like steaks to me, man.
I just had to figure out a way to get close, so I didn't miss anything, and that was what I came up with. But I'll tell you what, you're doing the luncheon. You and Jay want to steak dinner. You're on. You're done. We'll make it work. If you got the time, we'll make it work.
Wow. Jumpin'
right.
Jay. I was kidding around, and now we're going to get a sizzling steak dinner out of the deal, possibly.
I might have to pack a dress shirt. Man.
Tommy, okay. I don't know that I'm going to go that far, but I'll tell you what. I'm not packing the dress shirt. Maybe a nice polo. But, Tommy, you know the area. You got a good place. Thursday night, you're available. Let's do it. You're on.
I literally
have nowhere else to be. I got nowhere else to be. So let's do it. All right. Let's get to the topic, depending
on my schedule, I'll let you know 100%.
All right, boys. Okay. So tag teams. I think there's a lot of great tag teams that never win the straps. And, you know, you can talk about, incidentally, Twin Towers was kind of top of my list, the Killer Bees, the Rougeos. I think Power and Glory is one that kind of stands out to me. I, you know, I don't know if they're the best tag team ever or the most popular, but I thought they were a really great combination. They had a fantastic finisher. I'd put them near top of the list, but I got two that kind of, for me, to stand out. And one is sort of a cheat, and you sort of alluded to it, Jay. But, gosh, the Mega Powers, I mean, they weren't a traditional tag team, but they were a tag team for about a year. And, you know, what bigger stars than Hulk and Macho? But that's sort of a cop-out answer. I get it. I'm going with, if I've got to pick one, I think the Islanders for me. And, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. But I think they were, especially when they turned heel and aligned with Bobby Heenan and all the shenanigans with the Bulldogs and stealing Matilda, they got a tremendous amount of heat. And I was just like, oh, this is going to do wonders for them. They're going right to the top, right, of the tag team division. And they never really got a chance to have a run with the belts. But I think the two of them paired with Bobby was just tremendous. And, you know, they kicked off that heel turn tremendously. You know, I'm sure Babyface Brian will remember, but, you know, Bobby Heenan was on commentary on that episode of Challenge, and he said, oh, I've got a new team for you this week. And they get to the end of the show, and Gorilla's like, well, there's no more teams on the show. I don't know what you're talking about. And then, you know, of course, he walks down with the Islanders, and they turn heel. I think for my money, the Islanders are the team I'm going with. What do you guys think?
Tommy, I'll let you follow up. I think that's a great pick. I have a different question I want to go with, so I'll give you reaction time first, Tommy.
Yeah, I think they're a great tag team. And I tell you what, one thing, you think of the Islanders, and you think back to your childhood, one of the very first things I think they're all going to think of, everyone that's listening on the podcast right now, is when they stole Matilda from the British Bulldogs. Now, listen right here. Jeff and Jay, that's who we forgot to put on that list. Oh, no, they won the tag team titles. What am I talking about? What am I talking about? They won. I cried like a little baby at WrestleMania 2 when they beat the Dream Team first. I'm sorry. My mind's literally all over the place. But the Islanders, I mean, when they kidnapped Matilda, I mean, what heat was that? The beloved Matilda. And it used to come out, and Bobby Heenan be holding the leash with no one on. Fantastic. They were an awesome tag team. Both of those guys also singles careers, have great careers. The Tonga Kid and Haku, who reunited a couple of years back at 80s Wrestling Con. Great, great choice. I really like that one. I dig that one.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic choice. And before that, you mentioned the Mega Powers. One of the topics I really want to cover someday on this podcast is, I forget what you called them, a non-traditional tag team. You had a nice word for it, Matt. I wish I could remember exactly what you said. But I would like to do a show all about the tag teams that weren't really official tag teams, but put two guys together, and which ones we really liked and which ones we didn't think worked. And I think everyone's going to choose Mega Powers as the one that we really liked and could have seen them, you know, flourish as a legit tag team outside of their storyline and maybe even have a title run. But someday that's a topic I want to cover, is the teams that were made up of two guys that weren't really a team but would have been fun to see have a longer run.
The Mega Maniacs would be another great example, right?
Yep, yep, perfect example.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great topic idea.
All right, I just hope Babyface and Tommy don't cover it next week.
Before you go, Matt, is talking about the Mega Powers. Yeah, man, imagine at that time, well, I think, who had the belt at that time? Savage had the belt. So imagine that neither one of those guys had the belt, right? So they just say for shits and giggles, someone else had it. Can you imagine Hogan and Savage as the WWF Tag Team Champions and how huge that would have been for the tag? Because, I mean, the tag team division at that time was gigantically red hot, right? All those things. So imagine them doing a series of matches with Demolition, with other teams. Like, man, dream matches you can think of if Hogan and Savage, you know, were just a regular tag team, just defending the tag team titles or going after the tag team titles. I know they had their feud with, you know, DiBiase and them, but imagine if it was them as a team, and there's so many dream matches you could think of them either defending or challenging for the tag team titles.
There are so many great, Jay, it's just a genius topic because you can think about, like, you know, I know it's not 80s, but you can think about like Diesel and Shawn Michaels when they teamed up for quite a while and they actually held the belts. There's a lot of meat on the bone there. I think that's a tremendous idea.
We're going to have to pencil it in for a show down the road then.
Real quick as well, also, I just got a text from Babyface Brian. He brings up a good point. Talk about dream teams. How about the time superfan Vladimir, who is going to be getting the 80s Wrestling Lifetime Achievement Award at 80s Wrestling Con now. Remember when he jumped in, it was at Madison Square Garden, and it was Roddy Piper's pit, and he asked someone who should be his tag team partner, and he went up to Vladimir, who was sitting in the front row, I think Vladimir came in the ring, actually, and he said Hulk Hogan. And that place erupted. Can you picture Hogan and Piper having more tag team matches together as a team? And that was another dream team, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. DiBiase and Andre. I mean, there's a lot of meat on that bone. That's a great topic.
All right. We're going to have that topic a little bit down the road. Matt, thank you so much for calling in and weighing in. I think this is the last time I'll talk to you before I see you in person, man. So I'm excited to see you. Safe travels. And I'll see you at 80s Wrestling Con 5.
Cannot wait. See you then.
All right, Tommy, there we go. A couple of great teams mentioned for the greatest tag team to never win the tag titles. Great conversation and maybe even uncovered a topic for a future show, but we're going to keep this topic rolling down from a guy who I'm going to see at 80s Wrestling Con 5. It's time. It's time for Total with Tom. Tom, good morning, sir. Welcome back to the program.
That last caller, I'm a little worried about this Minutia Mike guy. I mean, I'm scared for my safety on this party Thursday. When he meets me, Total with Tom, I'm afraid of my own safety. I mean, this guy is going to mark out. He is a fanboy. He keeps saying that he's very excited to meet all of us. Are you guys not concerned? Do we have, you know, EMTs, you know, waiting in the wings in case this guy has a stroke when he meets us?
He seems like a very nice guy, Matt from Boston. I'm excited to meet him, Tom.
I am as well.
All right. Look, Maniac, Mike, whatever he is, you know, I hope everything, you know, goes well. I'm very happy to make this announcement as far as the party on Thursday at the Wrestling Collector. As the leader of the Front Row Mafia, Total with Tom will be unveiling a new faction to the wrestling world, and it's happening at the Wrestling Collector Thursday. So I hope you guys are going to love this. I mean, you guys are going to be shocked. It's all everyone's going to be talking about in the dirt sheets when this new faction that I have now developed, another faction, it's going to happen May 2nd at the Wrestling Collector.
Are we allowed to ask questions, or do we just have to wait and see?
You'll have to wait and see. It's going to be
all right.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Babyface Brian was kind enough to allow me to talk about this tag team, who I think should be considered the greatest tag team, quote unquote, never to win the tag team titles in the WWF. Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty. But there's an asterisk next to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this show know the history behind the Rockers and the tag team titles. And I'm going to bring you down memory lane, Tommy, on this, because there was a wrestling radio show in college called Who Slamming Who I know you know all about. It used to be a part of it. But I was listening to that show in 1988. I think it was 88. Maybe it was a little bit later. And they reported that the Rockers had won the WWF tag team titles in Indianapolis. Mm. It was big news. They defeated the Hart Foundation, who were the champs. A week later, it was taken away from them because Vince was very unhappy with how the match went. Now, if you think about it, those four guys are probably four of the greatest wrestlers in professional wrestling at that time. And Vince, though, was unhappy because of how the match went. There was a part during... I don't know. I think it was a 2 out of 3 falls match, too, which I have actually the match on VHS. I remember watching it. The ring rope was busted. I think Jim Neidhart was pissed at something going on, and he broke the ring rope. So it caused a lot of there were some issues. Brett said he couldn't use the ropes for some of his moves. Nobody was able to throw each other back and forth. And it came off not looking the best for those type of caliber wrestlers. And so Vince actually ordered them to go back out after the match and say, do it again, right? So the long story short, he never aired any of it on TV. So the tag team titles that the Rockers had won was never officially recognized. Have you guys heard that story before?
Yes, yes. I've heard that
story.
Yeah, it's so crazy to think that the Rockers actually had the titles in their hands, thinking they had won them. Of course, because of the debacle, never aired, so it was never recognized, and they would never get that chance again. It's kind of an ironic twist of fate.
Agreed. There's also another team that I want to make mention of that never won the tag team titles before, and they actually never really get enough credit. I'm not sure if they fit into today's subject, because I know we talk a lot about 80s. They were more mid-90s, but there was a tag team called the Can-Am Express. It was Doug Furness and Philip LaFon. They were two outstanding wrestlers that won many titles in New Japan, and they were also a great tag team in ECW. Paul Heyman discovered them. Vince loved them. They just never got traction. And I think most of it was because they didn't have in-ring charisma. They didn't draw, you know, from their interviews, from their looks. Inside the squared circle, they were outstanding. And they could have been, I think, one of the most entertaining tag teams to watch. Kind of reminds me of like an FTR, you know, in today's, you know, world of professional wrestling. They were old school. They were technically sound. Do you guys remember that?
I do remember the Can-Am Express.
Absolutely
I do.
I got a question for both of you guys. What did you prefer, the Can-Am Connection, or with the combination of Martel and Zinc, or the combination of the Can-Am Connection? Or who was that one you said?
Can-Am Express, Furness and LaFon.
Yes. Which do you prefer as a team?
Personally,
I'm assuming Furness and LaFon had a more steady career. I mean, they were pretty big in Japan for a long time. I know when the WWF in the mid-90s, it wasn't really nothing special, but I mean, they were a pretty big deal in Japan, you know?
They were great, as I said, inside the ring, and I loved the fact that they could work. But what gets you at the end of the day is how a team comes across on TV personality-wise. I mean, people love the Bushwhackers, but they're such a terrible in-ring tag team. I mean, the Sheepherders, I thought, wrestled differently, but when they were in NWA, I thought that they were a better tag team. But the Bushwhackers became more of a cartoon. But that's what the WWF was back then. It was more about showcasing the characters as cartoons. And, you know, that's not my thing, but I definitely appreciate a mix of both. And the Rockers, I thought, had that. Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, two of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but they also had charisma. Can you imagine if the Rockers had some of their charisma thrown over to Philip LaFon and Doug Furness? I mean, that's basically, you know, what I'm looking at. That's the difference between the two. Tommy, did you say that the show ratings have gone up recently in the last few weeks or last months?
They have been going up, yes. Is that because you're back?
I mean, I'm glad you said it, yeah.
Hey, real quick, guys, since we just talked about the Can-Am Connection, my original train of thought that I thought you were saying that I want to go back to is, what do you guys prefer? Not really prefer, but if the Can-Am Connection, I know Zinc screwed it out and left, but if they would have stayed together as a team, what would you guys would have preferred? Would it have been Martel and Zinc together? Because it looked like they were doing pretty good. And then abruptly, you know, Zinc left. Would you have preferred them
to stay together and have a longer run, or are you guys happy that it wound up being Strikeforce of Tito Santana and Rick Martel? I know they held the tag team titles, but it's just we're talking tag team wrestling, so it's a question. I loved Strikeforce. I loved the match in white. I loved the music video, Girls in Cars. I was a big fan of Strikeforce. What do you guys say?
Tom, you want to answer, and then I'll weigh in?
You go first. Your show.
Oh, I was a big Tom Z fan, I'll be honest with you. And so I was a little sad to see him leave the World Wrestling Federation. I mean, he went on to have, can you say, moderate success in World Championship Wrestling. But I always liked Tom Z. But this is a weird game to play, because if we don't get Tito Santana and Rick Martel, then do we ever even get the model Rick Martel, which is, I think, when Rick Martel really hit his stride as a heel and gave us some of his best work. And so it's a weird game to play when you start messing with things. But at just the base question, I would have loved to see Tom Zink have a longer run in the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, I agree.
All
both
right.
Sets.
All right, well, there you go.
Do you guys know what Saturday is? Saturday is 4:20. And I want to give a shout out to fellow Front Row Mafia member Mike Cleary. Celebration of that day.
Oh, yeah, it's a big day. Big day for him. Big day for him. Big day for RVD. Big day for Jumpin' Jay. I heard it in Minnesota. It's a little cloudy over his house.
Oh, come on
Saturday
now.
4:20. No, just kidding, Jumpin' Jay. Jumpin' Jay, listen, Jumpin' Jay is as down the middle as I am.
Well said. Well said.
But anyone out there that celebrates, have a great time on Saturday. Totowa Tom, looking forward to seeing you soon. Totowa Day was announced just the other day, Jumpin' Jay. Now, Totowa is a home of ISPW. Totowa is a really near and dear to my heart, because Totowa, New Jersey is where I first started doing my wrestling conventions back in the day. I used to do them at the Holiday Inn in Totowa. The old fan slams, and I did a tribute to WrestleMania 1 convention. There's a lot of stuff in Totowa, and now we do ISPW at the Totowa PAL. Now, Totowa is a huge, huge, huge wrestling town dating back to the early 80s. There used to be a place, Jay, called Ice World, and it was a big ice rink in Totowa, and WWF used to go there several times a year. And I don't know if you know this, Tom, this is some Totowa trivia for you. Now, after, you guys remember that hole that was in SD Jones's back? You guys remember that? If you don't go back and watch one of his matches, you'll see he has like a hole in his back. He was actually stabbed. He was stabbed in his back in the parking lot of the Totowa Ice World. So there's a lot of history around Totowa. Anyhow, that was horrible fact. But
and that's what Totowa Day is about?
I'm just telling you, there's a lot of history.
Okay.
There's a lot of history in Totowa.
Unrelated.
You get stabbed in your back in a second in Totowa.
That's an odd thing.
But anyhow, I was saying, they do a Totowa Day every year, which is really cool. And the town really, they go all out. They last year they had all these different events, a Ferris wheel, everything's for free. Totowa gives back to their town, and for the last 3 years, ISPW has been the headliner of Totowa Day. We do a show there, and it's so cool because there's like 15 to 2,000 people there just enjoying wrestling. So that is going to be on Saturday, June the 8th. So anyone out there that lives in the New Jersey area, come out for a free day of wrestling plus other activities. There's going to be axe throwing there. There's going to be music and concerts. It's going to be really cool. We just posted actually the graphic for it yesterday on our ISPW Facebook and Instagram page, so you can check that out. But yeah, Totowa Tom is going to be ring announcing the main event at Totowa Day
on June the 8th. So you'll get to see Toto Atom in the ring, ring announcing the main event. So everyone come on out. It's going to be a fun day for the whole family.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Tom, I look
forward to know there's other callers, okay? So
I look forward to seeing you, and I look forward to hearing your big announcement.
That's right. That's Thursday, May 2nd at the Wrestling Collector. Everyone out there, keep it in the ring.
All right, man.
There we
we'll
go.
See you out later.
Man, a lot of history in Totowa. A lot of history.
Listen, I don't know what.
Hey, that's a... It's a
but
very
it's true. It really
yeah.
Really
it's one of those yeah, strange but true factoids. Yeah, I guess I never even realized SC Jones had a stab wound in his back. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, if you go, I bet you several listeners today are not going to go back on YouTube and watch an old SC Jones match to see that hole in his back. Hey, real cool. Talking about real quick, fun facts and trivia. So we just did a show last weekend at Hapakon High School in Hapakon, New Jersey. Now, back in the early 80s, WWF primarily just ran up here in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, and the majority of their events back in the early 80s were smaller venues like high school gyms and halls and stuff like that. And New Jersey was a hotbed for the WWF, and high schools were a huge part of WWF's early plan back in the early 80s. Now, the event we did last week, I was informed by the superintendent there that WWF used to run a lot of shows back there in the early 80s, and he gave me a poster of one of the old shows there, and it was Andre the Giant in the main event, and Hulk Hogan was on the show as well, and I posted it in the locker room last Friday, some of the guys were coming in, and they all thought it was super cool. They can now say that they were in the same, they wrestled in the same building and in the same locker room as greats like Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. It felt when I was told this, and I've done this before. I've run events in many, many buildings throughout, because I do a lot of high school shows myself now. That's like my formula. So we've been to a lot of buildings that was WWF, and I never really posted about it or post something in the locker room about it. But you always have, when I'm told that Hulk Hogan, you know, wrestled in that building, and now I'm running a show there, or there's been situations in the past where I have run my own events in buildings that either I went to as a kid to see WWF, and then I'm running that building all these years later. I did it at the Wildwood Convention Center. I did it in a few high schools. And the Men in Sports Arena in Morristown, the home of 80s Wrestling Con, I did it there as well. So it's cool to go to a building as a kid watching it, and then as an adult running that same building, running your own shows. But you know, there's a ton of history up this way, because, you know, back in the early 80s, it was all, you know, WWF in this area. And tag team wrestling was a big part of it. And we mentioned the Powers of Pain. I could definitely have seen them have a run as the tag team champions. I think I'm going to pick them, Jay, as my pick. They were just such a dominating, and if you look at them, like, you're petrified of them. These are two, like, and I hate when people said, "Oh, they're Road Warrior ripoffs or Demolition ripoffs." Like, no, they had their own. In my opinion, they had their own. What's the word I'm looking for? Style, but like, they were separate from the other teams. You know, like they had their own gimmick. You know, I wasn't a big fan when they first came in with Baron Von Reske as their manager, and it was very short lived. But once they went with Mr. Fuji, I love them together with Fuji. I thought that Powers of Pain are extremely underrated, and that's going to be my pick for the tag team that I would have given the tag team titles to out of the teams listed there. I know I don't want to pick the Rockers only because they did have it for a cup of coffee. So out of that graphic you made, I'm going to go with the Powers of Pain.
That's a solid pick, especially when you consider – how many years later is this? And I just saw them wrestle together still at your last 80s Wrestling Con event just last year. So if you want to talk about staying power, the fact that these two guys are still doing appearances together, still climbing into the ring together, I mean, that's got to be part of the equation when you say greatest tag team. I mean, they're having they obviously have good chemistry. They stuck together. It's a gimmick that has gotten over to fans with the point where we still want to see it all these years later. And I am a little surprised back when they were feuding with Demolition that they never captured the titles from Demolition and then kind of had Demolition get them back. It would have been a good time to put the titles on them. They would have been a strong heel team to carry the belts. And so that's a very strong pick, Tommy. Very strong pick.
Yeah, and also earlier when I said about if Hogan and Savage did a regular teaming against other teams, I think that a Mega Powers against Powers of Pain match would have been super cool to see as well. And Bundy and Stud, man, I put Bundy and Stud could possibly be it as well. It's hard to just narrow it down to one team. I was just going off the tag teams. You made that awesome graphic for this morning. Killer Bee is another one, man. Killer Bees, they were a great babyface team when they had those masks. The fans were really into it. There's so many different choices. Bundy and Stud, though, they were awesome together as a team. Two giant monster heels. It's a great conversation, man. And again, it's subjective of each person. But I think out of the ones you picked, I'm going to go with Powers of Pain. How about you?
You know, I think out of the ones that I picked or the ones that are on that graphic, it doesn't have to be just those people, but of those people, I think I would have to go with The Rock just from the fact that I was such a huge fan of The Rockers, and they were such a dynamic team. In the world of wrestling at that time, we're kind of the monsters reigned supreme. To have a quick, agile, athletic team was just fun to watch, and so I would have loved to see them actually get official run with the belt and see what they would have done with it. You know, Tommy, we're blessed fans during the golden era of wrestling to have so many great tag teams to watch. The downside of that is if you are a very good tag team, you kind of get lost in the mix of all these other amazing teams that are formed at the time. You got to think if the Rockers would have come along maybe just a little bit later, and lasted longer into the 90s, they for sure would have got a title run because the tag team division kind of starts to thin out. And so as fans, I'm glad we had all these teams at one time. The downfall is not can get a title run when the division is just that packed.
Hey, quick question. Yeah, I agree with that. And listen, I was a huge Rocker fan myself. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't pick them because they held the titles in their hands, so that's why I didn't pick them. I want to ask you a question real quick. I'm gonna switch up a little bit. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about a dream team. So we mentioned the Mega Powers earlier. I mentioned Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper the time they teamed up. If I said to you right now, and I'm not giving you a chance to think about it because I'm just springing this on you now, in today's era, what would be considered a dream team for you in the WWF if two superstars were going to join forces for one night to be in tag team action? Who would be the two guys you would want to see together in tag team action?
Man, that's a great question. And I think in today's world, it's as uncommon to see two top superstars team up. Even Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, what a dream team that is. But we get to see it in kind of that one-off faction. If I had to pick two other top guys, I think would make a great team, even if it's just for a short run. That's a great question. Gosh, we've seen Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. We've seen a lot of the fan favorites already team up.
It looks like it's going to be by the storyline wise from what they did last couple of weeks in WWE. It looks like there's going to be a new bloodline. And then when Roman comes back, Roman will probably be with the Usos. That's the way at least appears their direction is going. But if that wasn't the case, right? So if The Rock
just this, again, this is fantasy booking. If The Rock, you know, took over the bloodline and everyone went with him, if just made believe Jimmy Uso didn't get a title last weekend, there was everyone, and they ousted Roman because, you know, Roman lost the title at WrestleMania, and then, you know, Roman comes back, they beat down Roman, he has nobody to help him out, and then, you know, either, and I mean, Seth and him teamed before, but imagine Cody and Roman teaming up against the bloodline. That would be box office big time.
Oh yeah, storyline wise, that thing would for sure take off, and that'd be a really good way to book it. I also wouldn't mind seeing Orton Rhodes kind of reunite. They had that little faction before Cody left the World Wrestling Entertainment
Absolutely.
Company years ago. But yeah, I'd like to see Orton and Rhodes reunite. Yeah, there's a lot of good options when you start talking about teaming up superstars, even if it's just for a one-off event. There's a lot of cool options.
One team I know that isn't going anywhere and that will remain together is Jumpin' Jay and me. And next week, Jumpin' Jay will not be here, though.
Except for next week, yeah.
It was a good segue to end the show. So we are the best team, except for next week.
Exactly.
He's going to be out of town on business. However, I'm going to have Babyface Brian with me. Hopefully we get Jay to at least call in for a couple of minutes to wish his buddy Tommy a happy birthday. And
listen, I'll
have
to
good
say
time.
I'll have to call you off air or a different time because I'm actually going to be busy at the time of the show, which is unfortunate. So I won't be able to listen live, but I will listen to the show after.
Oh, okay. Awesome, man. Well, listen, I hope that you have a great time out in Indianapolis next week. It will be me and Babyface Brian here on the podcast next Thursday, my birthday, April the 25th. And remember, 2 weeks from today, we will not have a podcast. We will have a party right here at the Wrestling Collector in Stockholm, New Jersey. So if you live anywhere within driving range of New Jersey and you're a fan of this podcast, either one, call out of work on Thursday, May the 2nd. You can say you have diarrhea. You can say you have a fever. You can say whatever you got to say. And if you have days coming off, just tell your boss, listen, 2 weeks from today, I need Thursday off. And we will catch you here next week on the podcast and in 2 weeks right here at Wrestling Collector on 80s Wrestling, the podcast.